Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who has received so much recognition for his work on behalf of small business that he had to get a bigger mantle for his awards and a wider door for his head.
You have reached the transmitting signal for the big giant head. All big giant circuits are busy right now. Please stay on the line.
Mr. Humble, Jim Blasingame.
Yes, sir. That's what they call me around here, Mr. Humble, with great cause, too. They do that. 34 after the hour. Thank you for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Very excited about having our good friend Giovanni Cortolo back on the show. Giovanni, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, is a longtime, golly, more than 10-year member of our Brain Trust. He's Vice President of Small Business Policy at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and he works very hard for you and me up there in the shadow of the power brokers and on Pennsylvania Avenue, on either end of Pennsylvania Avenue, working on things that are either defend or promote you and me in Washington, D.C., and he's our good friend, Giovanni Cortolo. Welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be here, and I'm going to tell you something. Small businesses, it's fun to defend them because, yep, you know, we've been there. I was a small business owner for a number of years, and I get up every day, put those gloves on, and I know you do, too. So great to be on your show.
It's good to have you back. So, you know, Walter Isaacs wrote the book Benjamin Franklin. It's a wonderful book. He talked about it on my show back when he launched it. He called Benjamin Franklin America's first entrepreneur. But I'm not sure he was right. I think that maybe there was somebody who was predated him by maybe about 300 years. That's Christopher Columbus. What do you think?
I have to agree with you. You know, you think about it. Here you have some guy that says, yeah, you know, I want to find a better trade route to India, and I'm going to go to the VC, who is the Queen of Spain, and get some money, and we're going to assemble a team here, and we're going to kind of do it. They're not going to surf the Internet. They're going to surf the ocean to find this greater trade route. And,
right.
What do you know? They found America. Here we are. We're sitting in the greatest nation in the world. Because of an IPO, I mean, in a sense, you know. it's fantastic, which leads me and certainly you to let's talk about some of the Jobs Act and some of the results of that. I mean,
well, you're right, and of course, you're right about the Christopher Columbus. I mean, when you think about how he persevered and got that money, and now we've got all these people out there across America trying to start businesses, trying to grow businesses, and they need capital from some source, either from themselves or from a bank or from an investor or something. And in the past, the regulations have made it harder to do that, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you look at Sarbanes-Oxley, you look at all the SEC regulations, you know, it makes it harder at the margins, especially for the smaller companies. And what you've seen in the last several years, you've seen a lot of public companies reverse and go private, and you've seen a lot of smaller companies not go public.
Mm-hmm.
And until just recently, until, I guess, April 5th of 2012, we passed the Jobs Act as one of, I think, the last pieces of legislation that we were able to get through Congress, but it's had a remarkable effect on jobs.
Well, you know, I've even talked to some people who went public in the 90s and who told me that if they were trying to do it now, I mean, these are very successful publicly traded companies, they're doing great now, but the CEOs have told me if they were trying to go public now, they couldn't do it.
No,
and that was not today. That was maybe a couple of years ago. They told me that, and because it's just making it so hard. In fact, there was a long time when the IPOs were going to London. American, yeah, IPOs were going to London. But anyway, the Jobs Act. Tell us why that changed.
Well, the Jobs Act had several great features. One is the testing the waters provision, and the other is the confidential filing provisions. And what you see is it provides Title One provides an on-ramp so that you don't have to, companies that want to go public do not have to have the onerous compliance of SOX 404B, which means that there's an auditing provision, and you have to really track every product and all your procedures, and that's so onerous. It's costing businesses $1 million, and if you have a small company, $1 million may be your profit. Mm-hmm. Think of how small companies grow. They grow by funneling all of their money back into the company. That's why they give stock options as payment, because you have your executives that are, they're making a lot of money, but it's all they're cash poor.
Exactly. And hold on to that thought, Jim. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about what the Jobs Act has done and maybe some things that it didn't do. After these messages, 22. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blasingame.
I was a dandy. Yeah.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.